From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made with the phrase, touch grass. That's what you'll see on the cover of this month's issue of City Magazine, and it's all about grass, weed, cannabis, herb. Did anybody say herb anymore? Mary Jane. I don't know what anybody says. This is not really my specialty. But what's really interesting to me about this issue is there's been all this talk for the last several years about the recreational rollout, the legalization, dispensaries, equity and justice, and all that matters. And a lot of that's covered here. But we're also looking at, you know, things like baked goods, art, beauty products, what it means to run a cannabis farm or dispensary. So a lot there. And Leah Stacey, editor-in-chief of City Magazine, even had a little bit of an opening up of your own views on how they've evolved on cannabis in your note from the editor here.
For sure. Yeah.
So welcome back here, by the way.
Thank you.
Did anybody say herb anymore? Nobody says.
Okay, so on page 8, we have a terminology
for it. I know,
but
do people actually say it?
We have it greenlit here.
Yeah. Okay, do we? You're claiming that people do.
Oh, Jake, wow. You helped with this.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah. We agreed that it was better than Chiba.
Yes. Call it weed, herb, or grass. Do not call it Chiba, wacky tobacky, or sticky icky.
I do have to interject here. We laid this out kind of last minute, and there is a warning up top that sort of says... Do whatever you want. It's your life. So it's kind of a take this with a grain of salt sort of deal. It's kind of a guideline.
That's like a get out of judgment free card. Yeah. I'm judging your work here. So
you feel free.
You can call it doobie, joint, or J. Do not call it reefer, bone, L?
L. That was a new one for us. L?
People say it?
Jazz cigarette?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I'm hoping this is helpful, Evan. I mean,
already.
Look at his world's being opened up.
By the way, we're about to go through other terms to know, just to kind of open
this
it up.
This is the whole show.
Thank you, Jacob Walsh, the art director for City Magazine. This is literally just a glossary of weed this hour. That's what we'll do. We'll just go all the way through. Thanks, man. And welcome, Patrick Hoskin, arts writer for City Magazine as of like 5 hours ago.
Thank you.
Welcome. It's great to have you here. Not 5 hours ago, but real recently, Leah. This big deal.
This is your fourth day?
Yeah, as of 4 days ago. To
Ooh,
be precise.
He's still here. He likes us.
And he's still here. When will you decide if you're going to stay?
I guess by the end of the day tomorrow, give it an even 5.
Okay.
Yeah, let him get to Friday afternoon.
Yeah, that's fair.
So far, so good, you think?
So far, so good. I mean, my first conversation on Connections is about weed slang, so how does it get any better than
that? It does not, yeah. You're peaking right out of the gate. Downhill only. We're going to talk about a little bit of Patrick's background coming up here. Let's do some terms to know, and then we're going to talk about why this issue, why now. But I like this. Terms to know. Doink, Jake. What is doink?
Oh man, you know it's tough to see this stuff in print and then really defend it. You know when you say when you put
we don't have
when
to.
You put things like doink in print, No, I mean, you know, why do I have to say it when you can just read it here? A popular internet culture reference to a joint.
I'm trying to quiz you.
I have the answer key right
here. I don't want you to read the answer key.
I made the answer key, baby.
I want to know if you actually know these things.
A doink is of course a joint.
Okay, it's a joint.
A joint is of course a doink. And then you just, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy style.
You should have quizzed me. That would have been the funny thing.
Honestly.
Leah Stacey, can I quiz you, or you've probably seen this enough?
Well, when we were doing this, I had the idea for this page, and then the whole time I was putting it together, I was like, Jake, Ryan, because I don't even know if cool is the word. I'm not well-versed I'm better now, but this was a little bit of me like digging around. I mean, some of them, like I'm not going to call, I saw Reefer Madness when I was in high school.
Oh,
okay.
God.
I'm not going to call it Reefer, but this was a lot of me being like, are the kids saying this?
Well, that's why I was surprised. Like, do people still say doobie?
Yeah,
they do.
I would say at this point in 2024, I think doobie is quaint. I think there's plenty of stuff that is quaint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doobie. That's good.
Grass, I would say, is also quaint.
That seems quaint.
Yeah, it's kind of folksy. It's
and,
good.
Doink is not the same as dank.
No, different doink thing. And dank are different. Yeah,
different thing. So we've established what doink is.
Doink is a noun.
Jake, dank is an adjective.
It sure is.
And what is
dank? It refers.
Maybe it's a noun.
It could be a noun as well. It's very subjective here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So what's dank?
Dank, well, you said I should be quizzing you, so you got the answer key right in front of you. Evan, what is dank? What does dank mean to Evan Dawson?
I didn't read it.
Oh, good.
So, hey, you want me to guess?
Yeah.
I actually haven't read the rest of the key.
Make the wine guy guess.
I want to hear it.
All right. I think dank is a kind of weed that's kind of funky and skunky.
Yeah.
And probably not very pleasurable.
I would say maybe the last part opposite, but yeah, dank generally is good.
So it is. Oh, wait a second. It's good, but it's funky and kind of.
Yeah.
It's a kind of weed.
It's like how you want to put like shaved black truffle on like on a risotto or something.
Oh,
it's that
okay.
type of dank.
Sure. Or like a funky rum.
A funky rum, yeah. And of course, I've never touched this stuff, so this is all me like hearing, you know, second, third
it's
hand.
It's not incriminating yeah. anymore.
That's true.
That's the thing that's interesting. A part of me was like, I can't talk to Patrick about this. This is his first time. But it's not incriminating anymore.
That's true.
I mean, like, a lot has changed. And I know, you know, in a broadcast sort of career look back for me, I have had to evolve in what I can say on the air.
Yeah,
this is a very, very true story. This was 2007. I was doing the extended morning show for 13 Wham News. And so we do an entertainment block. And I don't mean to like give away how things work here, but there are times where if you've got like a lot of really important things cooking and you know, you got up at 3 a.m. and you've been working on a bunch of other news, you might not read the entertainment block until you read it live on the air. Mm-hmm. You just let the producer write it. It's a short block of news. Stories are 20 seconds long. And I'm reading a story on the air cold. And I start by saying, viewers of Gilligan's Island's idyllic image of Marianne have been shattered. And I was like, oh no, she killed somebody. Like, what happened? Like, I'm excited as anybody, like, to find out what happens next. And she got pulled over, and there was a joint on the passenger seat of her car. And I literally, on air, I go, that's it? I was like, that's the whole thing? And then I said, which is smart of me, because I'm a very smart ad-libber, I said, it's not like it was cocaine. And that's what got us the phone calls. And that's what got me the trip to my boss's office.
Wow.
And the requirement to personally call every person who wanted to educate me on how dangerous what I said was. So now I can joke about that because things have changed. I'm not telling anybody to do or not do anything. I'm not advising you to go get high. Get high if you want to, I guess. That's kind of the world we're in now.
But don't get high and drive.
That's definitely
still a thing.
Not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Be respectful of people. Be intelligent. But I'm just observing that it's changed. So anyway, so Patrick, how much weed do you smoke? I'm just kidding.
That was the first question I was expecting, actually, of course.
No. No. So all right, so I haven't even looked at the rest of the key. So just I don't even know what's on the rest of the key. There's only like five or eight terms or something like that. What else is on your
There's not much there, to be honest. It's a breezy read.
No, the glossary key. Hit me with the glossary terms.
The
I haven't read
the glossary terms.
The terms to know. In the bottom left.
Bud.
Bud. What do you think bud is, Evan?
Bud is just marijuana.
It's me and
right?
you, my man. Oh, trick question.
That's cute.
Oh, you're my bud. Bud is just marijuana, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, and bud
it's
form.
So it's bud form of marijuana.
Yeah, it's a little nugget of plant.
So I kind of got that one. That was like mostly right.
Yeah.
Now,
I got to say, I don't know where hippie lettuce came from. That's got to be Ryan.
Nobody
is off
says
today.
Hippie
That's,
lettuce.
That was a Ryan.
That was a Ryan one. Mm-hmm. Not to throw him under the bus, but I think he's.
How do you define
no,
hippie lettuce? Because hippie
that
lettuce
one.
Is like that's like nobody said like that's like my mother might say that.
Hey, you know, not to disregard mothers across
I love
America.
My mom. I love her.
Yeah, me.
Are
me
you
too.
Kidding? Every time I invoke my mother, it's out of love. It's just observing her quirkiness.
Well, her and Ryan have some things in common, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So hippie lettuce is just like a slang term for marijuana?
Yeah.
It sounds like the 70s. I mean,
but,
it sounds like it came out of that
time. But also, it's worth noting here that we said it's a slang term for weed often used by people who don't smoke.
Moms.
Okay.
So that kind of, you were pretty on the nose
that
with that
one. I
want
to take full credit for.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anything else?
That's beautiful. Well, I think.
I got doink and dank.
You got doink, you got dank. I think flower is actually like a good vocabulary term to know if you're new to the dispensary game.
So
because
flower?
Flower. Legal dispensaries, adult use dispensaries across the state and across the county are opening up. They're getting their licenses. And if you want to, you know, talk the talk and act like you've been there, as it says at the top of the page, you can ask to see their flower menu. That's just another word for weed because they have so many different kinds. There are so many different ways to consume cannabis. There are extracts and edibles and drinkables and blah, blah, blah. And then old-fashioned weed is typically referred to now as flour at these places.
Okay.
Just a little heads up. I have never touched the stuff. Certainly never bought it. You know, but you can call it flour if you want.
Why do you keep acting like you're sitting next to your attorney?
I am his attorney.
Oh, yeah.
We're breaking kayfabe, but yeah.
Okay.
We should have rehearsed that.
That's flour, and what's left here?
I think we got, and then mids, you know, decent weed. You don't want to go.
No. Mid?
Mids. A mid. Yeah, it's like, you know.
Mid or mids?
Either or. Singular versus
something
plural.
Something that's mid is like mediocre.
Or just medium strength. It describes the potency rather than the quality.
Okay, so I would not have known that one.
I can't believe we're drilling down on this vocab list. I got to say, I love it. And I think I'm crushing it right now.
You're doing quite well. I mean, you're looking right at the answers. I didn't look at the
answers.
He needs
a grade.
I do.
This is all part of City Magazine's April edition on cannabis. No, I thought that was... We always like a vocab quiz. The audience likes this stuff.
You know,
the new words
school.
In the dictionary. It's one of the most popular shows we do every year. Mm-hmm. What are the kids saying? Usually, by the way, when Oxford Dictionary figures out what the kids are saying, the kids are no longer saying that.
They cease to say it.
Riz had a moment, didn't it?
Yeah, Riz.
I like Riz.
Riz is still around, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You see it in headlines and stuff pop up, too. So I think that that's a pretty good indication that it's widely used, but maybe not like so endeared or like the kids don't, I don't know. It's like they started it and then it kind of moves on and it's out of their
hands.
The
first time like a certified 40-plus person uses it, it's gone.
Right.
They will not – in the same way that the Oxford English Dictionary just recently decided that we can use not ironically.
Interesting.
Mm. Like about 30 years behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Leah Stacey, can I ask you as the editor here? I mean, honestly, I talked about the evolution that I've had as a broadcaster, and I'm not somebody who has – smoked a lot of weed in my life. I'm probably on one hand. It's just, you know, it hasn't been for me, but I'm not disrespecting anybody. It's just, it hasn't been for me. But for you, I want you to describe a little bit of what you wanted to communicate as the editor here as how you think about this and how that has kind of evolved.
Oh, I think I'm still on my, my weed exploration because I grew up very conservative, homeschooled. Like, you know, I kind of alluded to this. Like, it was not something that was like, encouraged. And I think that's the experience of a lot of us who are in like our mid to late 30s and above. It's like alcohol was our, you know, thing. When we were partying, we're probably drinking. Like we were super into craft cocktails, you know.
Craft cocktails?
Yeah, craft cocktails.
At parties?
No. Like when we started getting into like substances of any kind, right? Like that. And, you know, for you, like wine, right? So when we talk about things that we're choosing for like recreational activities, any sort of, you know, substance, I would say I went more toward alcohol before like weed and started experimenting with the flavor profiles of that stuff and, you know, getting creative with that stuff. And I think even now, like we have been talking about this a lot in the office, obviously, but weed water is, you know, something that I find very fun and like a little bit more manageable. And, you know, I'll microdose weed if I'm smoking. That's about as far as I go, just because that's what works for me. That's when I have a good experience. And then edibles, that has been a journey as well, because I had to figure out like the milligrams. And that was part of on page 9, we did like a how high guide. And that was another one that I'm like, these are questions I had when I started getting into this and, you know, experimenting with these things. And so we tapped a couple people on staff and like get some feedback, a couple other people outside the office, and it's like, what would you do with these things? And had some fun with that. So I wouldn't say I'm like a daily weed partaker. I sound so old right now.
Partaker. No, that flows really well. Daily weed partaker.
I'm a daily water partaker. I
hope so.
I don't really do anything regularly. I'm sort of like a what fits the environment and the moment and what's the feeling I want. The thing I really love about weed is you do not get a hangover. And if you're having like a chill night, it's pretty great.
We're going to talk to some folks featured in this coming up here. I want to talk to Patrick a little bit here. You know, you come at an interesting time. City is this wonderful publication. A lot of people were interested in this position. so no pressure. Tell me a little bit about where you came from.
So most recently before this, I came from WBFO. I was there only for about 4 months, which was not any, you know, indication of the job or the people. It's just I was commuting from here.
And where is that, by the way?
In Buffalo. So it's Buffalo's NPR station. So, yeah, wanted to spend a little bit more time with my family, my wife and my daughter, and hard to do that when you're in a car for a long time. But I loved the experience. You know, was able to do some producing on a show not dissimilar to this and do a couple things like that. But, yeah, then, you know, I've known Leah for a long time, and she, you know, kind of mentioned, like, we do have a position here. I've been freelancing for City for, you know, about 3 years, and she mentioned that they had a position open, and I was like, well, that sounds great, and also for many reasons, but one being that I don't have to drive 3 hours a day, so round trip. So, but yeah, but no, and honestly, so once I got past that, I was like, and also I've been reading City. I mean, City really is like, I think I wrote this in my cover letter, by the way, but I do think that City like really helped me become, you know, like a journalist, because I was reading it when I was in college, when I was studying journalism, all that stuff. So I feel like, yeah, it's just, it's very cool to kind of, I'd never worked in media here in my hometown. So that's also a very cool thing that is kind of able to give back to.
Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Chi Lai and went to St. Bonaventure for college and moved to New York, moved back from New York, basically after I ran out of money.
Very common story.
So I lived back here for about a year before I ended up going to grad school at Syracuse, the same program that Leah did a couple years before me. And then I moved to New York again. And so, but I moved back to this area in 2020. So I kind of like, I never really, what I'm so excited about is to like kind of get here and to start really kind of, and I've been doing this since I moved back in 2020, but to really like reinvest in the city that is like my hometown. But I hadn't, like when I was in my 20s, I really wasn't living here. And that's usually when, you know, you do, you consume all the art stuff. Mm-hmm. You kind of go out and get your, you know, your nightlife and your culture on, so mm-hmm. to speak. So, yeah, so I'm excited to kind of to jump into that from this role where it's, I was just telling Leah this the other day, I was like, it's so cool that it's literally my job now to go and do all that fun stuff and to kind of, you know, try to lift those stories up for folks that are doing it here.
What was the Buffalo talk show called?
It's called What's Next. It is daily, except for Fridays. It's Monday through Thursday at 10 a.m. on WBFO.
What's the so wrong with it? Why is it not very good?
Wow. It is a great show.
We're competitive. It's a great show.
It's a great show.
It's great to have local talk, and every market should, and not every market does, and we are very, very appreciative of it. I also appreciate the fact that Patrick said, you know, when you thought about what your career might be, you think back to reading City. City is an institution here. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of what they've done with it, and I, you know, I have to say that because they're my colleagues. But it turns out it's actually true. I think what they're doing is so important. And Leah gets questions like this quite a lot about, well, you know, is it arts based? Are you going to do news? I think we need a publication if we're going to be an arts town and a culture. This kind of interesting sort of cultural turning point that so much is changing, from the legal cannabis scene, the question of our identity as an arts town and what gets prioritized and what mm-hmm. voices get heard. I think City is vital. And so, I mean, it's just, it's cool to hear you talk about its legacy, but also I hope its future. I hope you think about journalism as a future, because a lot of people your age are a little more cynical about journalism as a future.
For sure. And also saying, you know, and I'm going to work for a print magazine.
People right.
are like, really? In
right.
2024? Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I don't know. I took that as quaint. Like a, you know.
Nice and quaint.
Quaint.
It is quaint, yeah. It's as quaint as, what were the quaint ones?
Grass.
Grass, yeah. It's as quaint as grass.
Grass, mm-hmm. hippie
yeah.
lettuce.
Hippie lettuce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, and there's something novel about that, but also like the model, yeah, which, you know, it's not only working here, but it's sort of thriving and being able to dive into arts and culture in the way that it has. And it, as we've talked about, you know, again, it's my fourth day, but as we've talked about wanting to continue doing, it's really exciting. So yeah, I'm really, really stoked to join.
I mean, honestly, Patrick, part of what I think a print publication has to do, and they know this and you and your colleagues will know this, is to be wherever people are, whatever platforms they're on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not good at that. Like I worry about that all the time. I think about the small staff that we have as a talk show and the challenge of 10 hours a week on its own, and then thinking, are we on the platforms where people are, and do we need to cut up some clips, and how do we do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of which is to say, I don't know that anybody has a perfect answer of where we're going, but Are you someone who is on a lot of platforms, and are you thinking about ways that City can be there? I mean, I don't know if these were conversations that you all have had.
Yeah, we had pretty good conversations about this kind of in the lead up to the process, mm-hmm. and especially in the interview. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I try to, as I think a lot of folks do, kind of toe that line between consuming media and staying up to date, and while also protecting your sanity and mental health.
Yeah,
so like I have a very firm line, and this perhaps will change, but I have a very firm line that I don't really go on TikTok because I did that for a while and I kind of had to wean off. But everything else is I'm very on, or at least lurking. But TikTok is a little different. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot there where, you know, these conversations, but also what we write about in City, they can and they should and they do live outside of the pages of the magazine. That's really important. That's something that we've been talking about a lot.
Well, I mean, this is why Leah wanted us to spend time with Patrick, because we knew all these different interesting tangents would come up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could probably spend a whole conversation on how these different platforms are evolving. And, you know, obviously there's everything from litigation and legislation with TikTok to just culturally, how does it make you feel, and how much time do you spend on it? What is the benefit? How do you define a benefit of social media? I'm now really close. I know I've said this before, but I'm really close to being done with X or Twitter, because there's very little productive engagement anymore. The amount of just pure vitriol is way more than before. And before there was a ton, but there was also I felt like before you could sort through it, and then if you engaged in a way that was intentional, you could find specialties or you could communicate and get value out of it. And I'm close to deciding there's almost nothing but just doom scrolling and cynicism. You know, I don't know how you feel about that.
The way I try to look at it is the less seriously I take it, the more I tend to enjoy it. Because if I do try to use it in that way of like, well, how can I get something meaningful here? It's just not going to work.
And you get angry with things.
Yeah.
Right? And you find yourself like, why am I yelling at, like, I'm just going to create some handle, but I'm going to not create a handle in an ad lib form. Like, I find myself going, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I even engaged? Where are you on the platforms? I mean, like, has your mind?
I've increasingly fallen off of X, Twitter, or whatever we're calling it. And I find myself much more on Instagram, TikTok. I actually really enjoy TikTok. I whenever I am talking to people about it, I get tips, and that's why I call it TikTok.
But do you feel like you know how to utilize that platform in a way that's...
Oh, yes, if I wanted to take the time. I think I have figured that out, but I do not have the time to create, because that would, at this point, take time from my full-time job or time with friends and family. It's very time-consuming. I also don't see a reason for me to add to the noise at this current time. So
yeah, I hear that.
But I create pretty frequently on Instagram. I'm also running a large portion of City's social right now, so that takes time and energy. And so this is a larger conversation that our team will be having over, you know, the next couple of months. Like, where do we want to be? Where are the people that we're really trying to talk to? I also, just as an aside here, Patrick mentioned that we know each other. But I feel like we mostly knew each other from social media, and
just
having had gone to the same program and like would see each other at alumni things. But I didn't know how impressive Patrick was until he applied for this job, and he's not going to say that, so I'm going to.
Absolutely. Let's make him feel weird.
Yeah, but this wasn't like we grew up together. I texted him. This was like I knew of him and thought his work was great, and then he came in and just impressed our whole team so much.
Patrick, it's true. I mean, a lot of people were interested in this position, and she was raving about you from the jump. So it's really cool when you get passionate people with roots who care about the community, know the legacy of the publication.
Yeah. Love a hometown connection, because you have extra investment. And so we didn't necessarily go into the job search thinking we'll get someone who's from here, but I thought that was a really nice tie-in. And now you're raising your family here, which is so
That's
cool.
True.
Yeah.
By the way... In a moment here, I'm going to welcome in Raquel Stephen. I want to put a bow on a couple of things. Jacob Walsh, Are you on social a lot? Have you changed at all?
Oh, man. I have been sober from Twitter for 11 years. I have not been...
Twitter sobriety.
Yes. I have been That's off real. Of Twitter.
You haven't had a drink of X?
No. Since 2013, I thought, let me get off of this and see how my brain feels. I was in college at the time, and there was no negative to it. I got off of it, and I stayed off of it. I will never go back. I am pulling back increasingly year after year, just trying to, you know... make the most of my time on this
other
earth.
Platforms?
Other platforms, I like to watch TikToks because I find myself on cooking TikTok. There's a lot of cooking. Let me go through my interests here. I'll lay myself bare. It's cooking, powerlifting, house
Are you serious?
Music. Oh yeah, man, I'm in there. Oh yeah, big time.
Are you a power lifter?
No, that would be stolen valor. But I lift weights. I enjoy that.
I love that you're
Come on,
not
Evan,
a power lifter,
look
but
at
you're
me, man.
All about TikTok powerlifting. Okay,
I am.
Sorry. Go ahead.
There's these very impressive people on there who are just putting up weight. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God.
What else do we have here? Let's see. What
so
are my
it's
other?
Aspirational, though.
It's very. I will be honest. It is very aspirational. Yes, it is. Yeah, I would say those are the big three, and I named two things. So we'll keep the air of mystery there.
That's good.
Oh, house music. There we go.
Jake, I didn't mean to insult you. And I was like, are you a power lifter? Which, like, just the tone of the question was kind of a put down. It didn't
oh, I
mean
clocked
to be.
It, Evan.
It didn't mean to be.
No, I understand.
It's so interesting.
I'm not the biggest guy on earth, but I plan to be one day.
Say farewell to your neck, Jake,
I know.
In the future.
Goodbye, neck.
There we go. I want to grab a phone call from someone who's been waiting to jump in. Suzanne, apparently, in Farmington has a story to tell. Hi, Suzanne. Go ahead.
Hi, but this is a different subject. You were talking about pot earlier, right?
Oh, we're getting back to pot, don't
oh,
we?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't get back to it?
We that's Hello? The plan here. We're not just going to talk powerlifting.
Oh, okay. I'm 91, but in 1950, I was going to art school in the Brooklyn Museum, and the guys were all calling it pot at that time. And they were mostly ex-GIs because they were on the GI Bill. And I tried pot once, didn't do anything for me. I don't like to smoke, so that's all. But they were using hollowed out chicken bones as pipes, which
wow.
I thought was interesting.
Wow.
And I've never heard that since then. And also I have another story. One of the boys, I lived in California, but I was going to school in New York. So I was going back to California, and one of them asked me if I'd take a package back for him, and I said, sure. And he gave me this neat white package, a block about 6-inch square. And I put it in the car, and you know when you go into California, they check for all kinds of things, especially plants and vegetables and stuff. So I was with my mother, and we went through customs, and they didn't check that. And then I contacted the person I was supposed to give it to, and we met on La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles at a nice restaurant. And I said, this is for you from so-and-so. And he said, okay. He said, and we took it into the bar, and he set it up on the bar counter, and he started to open it, and it was a block of pot.
Wow.
And I said, Mike, thank God they didn't check that when we went through customs.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Wow. Thank you very much for the phone call, and thank you for steering us back to the reason we're here in the first place. We appreciate that very much, Suzanne. The chicken bones thing I've never heard. That's wild.
Yeah, I got to try that. Maybe I won't, though. Maybe there's a reason we don't do that anymore. Or maybe we still do it. I don't know. Evan, you're looking at me confused.
I don't know if it's good for the chickens.
But you don't smoke pot.
Never touch the stuff,
right.
Like I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Aspirationally.
Yeah.
Aspirational.
Like your powerlifting.
Absolutely true. Those two things allegedly go together very well.
We're talking to Jake Walsh, Leah Stacey from City. We're interrogating Jake Walsh is what we're doing. And Patrick Hoskin is also joining us, an arts writer for City as of just 4 days ago. And we're so glad to have Patrick. The current edition of City is all about touching grass. That's the title, Touch Grass, all about cannabis. When we come back from this only break, Raquel Steven joins us, health reporter for WXXI and a contributor to City. And we're going to talk to the owner of Buffalo Dreams Cannabis Dispensary in Tonawanda. A lot more to share with you from the team from City next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, we talk with journalist Victor Luckerson, author of Built from the Fire. The book follows several family stories from 1921 to the present day in Tulsa, Oklahoma's Greenwood District, exploring the legacy of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. In our second hour, we continue our preview of local eclipse events with Native Americans gearing up for talks at the University of Rochester. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. The current edition of City, the April edition, is all about touching grass. And one of the stories, you just laughed at that, Raquel? Raquel, like, I just got it.
That is so clever.
Thank you.
Is with us, health reporter for WXXI and a contributor to City. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. It's nice to see you, Raquel. And Raquel has a story to share, has a story right here in the magazine, American Buffalo.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how you got in touch with with B. We're going to welcome B. Duong Tavale in just a second. Go ahead.
Yes. So B and I share a mutual friend, and B is actually a boss in her own right. She owns multiple businesses, and this is just one she just added to her belt. So we have a mutual friend. I knew about her doing this a long time, but I had to keep it under hush. Like, I was under a gag order. Like, you better not say anything. I'm like, please, I can break it. But yeah, I had, you know, journalists, you know, whatever. And ethics. And so when she finally found the spot, scheduled her grand opening, I jumped right in and said, hey, can I now do this? And they're like, yeah, sure. So I've known her for a while. And this was just, I think, you say history, but this is her story. Because as the only female, minority female in the Western New York region to have a dispensary, I think that was a significant story to tell.
Well, B is with us now. B. Duong Tavale is with us. Welcome. Thanks for making time for the program today, B.
Thank you. Thank you, Rocky, for that amazing introduction.
Yes.
I am over here just getting here and seeing the parking lot, and it's like watching people go in and out. It's crazy, crazy.
Well, I want to read a little bit from Raquel's piece here for a little bit of more of B's background here. B told Raquel, I knew cannabis was a way out of poverty for my family. And Raquel writes, Duong Tavale was born in a refugee camp after her mom left Laos, and she and her siblings have been manifesting a better life ever since. Hmm. With various businesses under her belt, including a clothing boutique and some real estate property, a dispensary was another way to sustain her family's legacy.
Ooh, that sounds good.
You wrote that.
I'm like, wow.
That's amazing.
This is a great career for me, isn't it? This is
that was beautiful.
B, do you want to tell us a little bit more about your family and now how you see this opportunity?
Yes. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to be able to live as you want. You know, money buys you more than just materialistic stuff. It buys you time, right? Time with your family, time you've lost. And, you know, we are trying to have a better life for our future and our kids now, you know, and they don't have to live through what we live through, and they don't have to go through what we go through. And we're trying to build that, a legacy.
And this little detail here is so interesting to me. Raquel writes that while rushing to complete the dispensary application, Duong Tavale, a Rochester resident, mistakenly chose Western New York as her desired location instead of the Finger Lakes. It's a misstep that ultimately worked in her favor, as Buffalo Dreams was selected as one of four businesses approved to operate in the Western New York region. Duong Tavale and Rivera became the first minority women to open an adult-use cannabis dispensary. So, hey, look, a little twist of fate there has worked out, B. That's awesome.
Right. God's timing. You know, everything happens how it's supposed to happen. And I wasn't aware. I thought Finger Lakes was like Canandaigua.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people, yeah.
didn't register.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
so
you're...
When we...
I was just going to say, I think that the mistake you made is very common. I think that's why it should be listed as the Rochester/Finger Lakes area, which it often is.
Yes.
But if it just lists Finger Lakes, I know exactly why you would say, well, no, I'm in Western New York. Yes. I'm not in the Finger Lakes. And then can you also describe a little bit for us? I mean, one of four. This is not a big number of opportunities so far. So what has the process been like, and what are you seeing so far, B?
The process was rigorous. Obviously, it was a lot of paperwork, a lot of just checking up with the OCM. I think you have to do your due diligence on your own. You can't just sit around and wait. You have to make emails, do emails, calls, whoever you got to speak to and get through. You got to wake up at 7:30 in the morning and be the first caller at 8:30. You know, it's just certain things that you have to push yourself to do. You can't just sit around, wait, and complain. So the process has been great for us. It's just, you know, timing. But other than that, we love what we do, and we're happy. We're very happy that we get to help people and show people how to use cannabis in a safe way, and spread the word, for sure.
And Raquel writes that your dispensary, each corner has its own oohs and ahs. What's it like there, B?
We have a section for everything. So we have cannabis in New York has been so creative. We have edibles. We have drops, which are like pills that help you sleep. We have tinctures for women when they're on their cycle, or like we have all sorts of things. We have smokables and vapes and you name it. It's so much variety, and we want to be able to showcase, you know, the different creativity of the farmers in New York. So we're having fun with it.
Raquel, anything that we need to add here? Because this is a story that, to me, it's a personal story. It's a human interest story.
Yes.
It's an economic development story. I mean, you kind of have every little thread wrapped up here. And so far, it looks like it's off and running in a good direction.
Yeah. I just think that it was fun to do. I know B uses that word, fun. It was really fun to be there. And just when you, I believe I quoted a young lady that was there that said, you know, you can tell when a woman's touch is on a place, because when you walk in, it's just this comfort and the just the aesthetics and the decor. Like, a man could not do this. it has this woman's touch to it. It's just the decor.
Like, I know some men who could do it, Raquel. But I
this
hear
is just
you.
Amazing. The attention to detail, and I'm just, you know, knowing B personally and just seeing how her businesses continue to elevate and how she's becoming. She's just a daredevil, and I look up to that. I admire that, and I just wanted to share her story, because she's, you know, you would look at being like, what? Like, she's just a nice, cute, petite thing, and you're like, but she is such a firehouse, and I feel like that juxtaposition right there is amazing. So I enjoyed it. I you know, thank her for doing what she does so I can create this piece. So.
Well, and Max Schulte did some great stuff to show some of the art. It is a very interesting looking place.
Yes, actually, I had men do the artwork. They did the artwork.
You placed
see, Raquel.
It. You placed
Amy,
it.
Amy and Douglas, they did it. And it was, we have men working there. It's not all women. But,
hey, B. So
they put their touches in.
Before I let you go, B, I want you to tell people, if they haven't found you, where you are. And I am curious to know, when we talk about the future of a place like this, I mean, you've told Raquel that you really think that this is a way forward for yourself, for your family financially. How long will it take you to get a sense of if it is as lucrative as you hope it is? I mean, are you already seeing that? Is that not a story that we can tell for another year? How do you view that?
It's doing well. We have traffic. It's in a great location. We're located at 900 Niagara Falls Boulevard, which is next to Whole Foods, where Costco's coming here. So it's a really busy area. And I think Kathy Hochul is planning on doing some renovations over here at the Boulevard Mall, which is like literally less than a mile away from us. So it's a good location. It's a good space. And people love it. The community loves us. We love them, and we're here for them. So I can't really say, but I can say that we are doing great. We are doing great, and we're very blessed.
Thank you for making time, B. That's B doing
Tablet.
You're welcome.
Tablet. Thank you guys for having.
B's story is called American Puffalo by Raquel Stephen in the new edition of City Magazine. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Leah, for allowing me to explore that side of my journalism. And I just love the platform. So it's just exploring your other half, like being a radio news reporter and then contributing to arts and life. I just love being able to touch these different platforms. So thank you.
We'd love to have you.
Men made that art. I just want you to remember that.
Oh, but
you're surprised.
You know,
you're surprised.
I loved your face when she said that.
I know, I wish people were surprised.
I really
like,
wish.
Where's the girl code? You know, like, we're supposed to.
That was what your face translated. We made eye contact.
I will have to see her after this.
thank you, Raquel.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Before we jump to our next conversation, we're not going to get to everything here. And I want to give Leah and Jake and Patrick, I mean, he's only been here for 4 days, but if you want to assume control of the conversation, I'm curious to know from the city staff, there's a lot in this mag. What do you want people to know? Because there's stories from a lot of different angles here. Leah?
Yeah, well, I think there's an interesting look at not only the entertainment side of the current state of cannabis and, you know, the recreational side, but also the economic side. Gino had already done a Connections episode about this, but he wrote this wonderful piece about cannabis farmers in the Finger Lakes and what their outlook and, you know, their status is currently. And that's a little bit of a more grounding piece than, you know, the dispensaries are having a much different experience right now than the cannabis farmers, especially locally. So while we are touching on all of these like super fun parts of cannabis and, you know, how it's changing and how rapidly, that does affect our farmers, that affects our economy, that affects just the anything like this. This giant industry is going to change different parts of the world around us. And so we tried to get a snapshot of that. And we plan to do a cannabis issue every April. We did one last April. That was the first issue that I actually came in under. It had just been completed. And so I remember reading it front to back and just learning, but also thinking what a moment in time we're living right now, because it truly is going to change the local industry.
Jake, anything you want to add there?
No, I think Leah really said it all. There's a lot to get into here, and I'm looking forward to covering how the cultural conversation about cannabis changes, about how the conversation about incarceration and past incarceration changes, the local economics of it all. There's so much to dig into. And people have a lot of different feelings about it. And I think it's something that bears multiple revisits and something that we will need to continue talking about.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add to that, Patrick Hoskin?
I ditto it all.
You ditto it
ditto
all.
It ditto it all.
But also, I thought you did it all.
That was a Freudian slip. You know, what's interesting is like, sort of lead it on. We led off this episode talking about the slang terms, which were also extremely beneficial for me as a not frequent or really ever, occasionally.
Probably like me.
Partaker, as Leah said.
Yeah, partaker.
So
very unusual, but not impossible.
Right. And so from a cultural standpoint, like that's what I do think is really cool about this issue in particular, but also like a lot of the issues of city is like, you know, just looking at something and as attitudes are changing, whether that's, you know, financial or whatever the case may be, just culturally, that's what I think is cool.
Well, I want to bring in our next guest here. Richard Kay is a glass artist, although he's listed as R-E-K in the magazine. I don't know.
Yeah, that's his. I'll let him talk about this. Yeah. That's coming off his Instagram handle and what he was referenced in the article.
Yeah, and before I bring in Richard, I just want to say John Heath did a really nice job, and you get really good visuals here. The question of...
And those are by Lewis Russell.
Okay. Really good stuff, because we are at this point where, with things opening up, artists of different kinds... Mm-hmm. have opportunity that maybe they didn't have pre-2021 here or pre, as John writes, a decade ago in Colorado. These markets are so intermittently opening up for artists. But if you're a glass artist, all of a sudden, there's a lot you can do with this. So
more openly.
Kind of out of the shadows, as John Heath writes there. Richard, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good. Why don't you tell people a little bit more about what it is that your work is, and maybe a little bit about how to find it, and then we'll kind of talk about how that landscape has changed for you.
Let's see. The easiest way, really the only way to see my work, is on my Instagram at rek.glass, you know? But first part of the question again, what was that?
Well, I mean, what it is that you do, how you describe your work.
So I'm a borosilicate flame worker. You know, I do glass blowing when I, you know, am putting air into the glass, but it's nothing like, you know, what they do at Corning Museum and stuff like that, because everything that I do is done on a bench with a torch, and They call it lamp working, essentially. So I'll do anything from small earrings to like larger drinkware or larger like vessel smokeware and stuff like that. But a lot of what my focus goes towards is like the smaller accessories, and especially like jewelry, pendants, and marbles. That's where my true passion lies, you know.
Well, I want to read a little bit from John's piece. The reason, part of the reason it's called Pipe Dreams is a little bit of history that I was not aware of. He writes about, you know, this opportunity that, you know, legal cannabis or even kind of the underground scene would provide for artists, and how all of that kind of was threatened in the last couple of decades. John writes in City, quote, "What might have been the start of a glorious pipe-making revolution was squashed as the stigma of cannabis kept the culture hidden. While cannabis remained illegal, mainstream glass was just beginning to take shape and had no room for the heady upstarts. The craft was almost completely crushed in 2003 when the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, unleashed Operation Pipe Dream, a nationwide crackdown on the sale of pipes across state lines, which had until then been a boon for pipe makers taking advantage of a new tool, the internet. Since then, the craft has remained largely underground," end quote. So is all of that changing now, Richard?
You could say so, yeah. I mean, it's still definitely underground. A lot of the people who find themselves doing glass flame working, you know, on a bench burner like I do, you know, most of us tend to be introverted, quiet, you know, socially awkward. So a lot of it, you know, will still be remaining underground, but it's just without the fear of any sort of like legal ramifications or anything like that, you know. Like in that time with Operation Pipe Dreams, that was where a lot of glass artists, you know, that would be making pipes, they would, you know, be working under an alias, not connected to their name and likeness whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't post any images with any of their persons in it or anything like that. It would just only be about the glass because of the Operation Pipe Dreams. And they were basically saying that you're manufacturing this for illegal drugs. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, the argument was kind of like, well, Smith and Wesson shouldn't be taken to court for every, you know, murder that occurs, just the same as every pipe maker shouldn't be charged with, you know, illicit drug manufacturing and paraphernalia manufacturing, you know. So it really was a time where federally they were taking down larger names in the industry that, you know, in a business perspective, they really did. They were getting everybody, you know, paid rightfully with paychecks and retirement plans and health care, stuff like that. They were able to make so much more money with the internet and be able to get, you know, to people that couldn't get to their storefront or to the artists themselves and stuff like that. So,
well, so part of what you're kind of talking about there, Richard, is that before maybe 2024, you're not going to show up in a magazine holding this beautiful pipe bong bowl. That's a whole other terminology thing. Jake, is it a pipe, a bong, or a bowl? Are they all the same thing?
They're all the same thing, Evan. I'm here to report since I know nothing about I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, they're all different things, you know. And they're all, as you can see from the artwork here that Lewis did.
Jake's like, why do you keep asking me? Like, I would know.
Well, you know, right. It's an audio medium, but I have a crazy haircut. I know that wasn't a serious question, Evan. They're all different things. They have different names.
I actually don't know. Pipe, oh. Bong, bowl. That's a very serious question.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know what if what. In, yeah, Richard, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, in the article, it would probably be the rig that I'm holding, or the recycler, as the term is called, because the way that it brings the water up to another chamber and then recycles it back down to the first chamber. And that's where you see a lot of, you know, scientific flame working, that they were making these lab apparatuses. And then on the side, after they were done making lab equipment, they made a couple things to smoke out of with the lab equipment, you know? So and that's where, you know, the science and the art has really found itself at such a kismet meeting point with glass and borosilicate flame working, especially because there's so much capability with it. Literally anybody that thinks of what they want to make, if you put enough time in on the torch, you'll be able to make it with glass, you know?
Well, Richard, so, it's beautiful from what I've seen. How are you going to find clients? We got about a minute left here. How do you find clients going forward, and how do you want them to find you?
clientele, usually it's easiest, you know, boots on the ground, so to speak, you know, just out there in person at events, vending in, you know, at live shows and stuff. Like coming up this 420, actually, at Mad Hatter's Hideaway, I should be out in the parking lot doing a live flame working demo with another artist, you know, that's in my same studio space. So clientele, any interested, you know, the easiest way, you could check out my Instagram, which then brings you to anything current that I have, you know, that's just in my cases. I don't really keep an updated inventory online or anything like that, as well as the easiest way to, you know, just buy something online, Mad Hatter's Hideaway. They've got a great selection of my work, and they've really been such a strong supporter of mine from the beginning of this path until up until this point now, you know. So, but they have a nice website where you can get on there and purchase. Getting on, you know, Instagram as well as, you know, through the Instagram, there's a Big Cartel link, which brings to the webpage. And I've got email contacts on my social media pages as well. So anything like that. But the easiest way to find me, if you want to put a face to this voice, is to stop in on a Sunday over at Mad Hatter's Hideaway, because I usually work there 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And a lot of the local collectors in the area know that, and they'll actually come up with, you know, a question or come up to inquire about, you know, if my custom lists are opening up anytime soon and stuff. So,
well, thank you for making time for us, Richard.
Definitely, no problem. Thanks for, I really appreciate you reaching out and, you know, making the time to get in touch with me. So,
you got it. The story is called Pipe Dreams by John Heath in City Magazine. And Jake is air drumming over there.
I always do when I'm on this show.
So Jake has left me speechless several times.
Here.
Look at that, gobsmacked is right. I appreciate this whole issue of City because it really does take you across the landscape. And it's going to be interesting April to April, year to year, to check and see who's in business, what's grown.
Mm-hmm.
Great work. Thank you very much, Leah Stacy.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, you guys got a party coming up?
What do we
you
do.
Got? What?
April 9th, 6 to 8 p.m., Ziggy's, our monthly city social. Everyone is welcome.
The day after the eclipse.
You know, just in case you want another thing to do.
Another thing to change your life.
Because you're going to have like the post-event like hangover stuff.
Ziggy's, right? What time?
6 to 8 p.m.
That's coming up Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
Thank you very much. Jake, thank you. Nice meeting you, Patrick. Thank you. From the whole Connection team, thanks for listening.